Now we come to message number two in the morning line, lessons concerning the human spirit. Maybe before we get into this, I'd like to add something to our morning time fellowship. Maybe I could try to do this in 5 minutes. There's a verse. Well, let me start this way. I was touched with what one sister said at the very end in her prophesying this morning. She said, she used this phrase, "I needed to calm my being." Calm my being. And actually, that is some of the terminology that I sometimes use to describe this experience. You need to calm your being. That is the same as setting our mind on our spirit. One of the brothers shared this morning, that he was led through the hymn, I think it was 255, he was led to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And that says, "Beholding and reflecting. Beholding and reflecting. The glory of the Lord." You know, beholding. There it says, as a mirror. Beholding as a mirror. Have you ever gone to the countryside and there's a lake? And when you look across the lake, you can see the reflection of the trees. It's a mirror image on the bottom. When you look in, it's like a mirror. Only if it's calm. Not if it's calm. As soon as you, even a leaf falls in, it ripples, and it's not so clear. If you drop a pebble, of course. If you drop a few, you can't see anything. That's like our time with the Lord in the morning. We want to behold and reflect Him. But we need a calm inner environment. So sometimes you have to say this, "Lord, calm my being. Calm my mind. My mind is too hot. My emotion is too hot this morning." There's a verse in Psalm 86. I believe it's verse 11. Psalm 86, 11. It says, actually the King James says, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." Unite my heart to fear thy name. And the Recovery Version says, "Teach me, O Jehovah, your way. I will walk in your truth. Make my heart single in fearing your name." Make my heart single. But King James says, "Unite." Actually, both of these have something to it. maybe you brothers could help me. Could you put your books down? 1, 2, 3, and 4. Come up here. You know, our heart, our spiritual heart, you know, this is our being, right? We have body, we have soul, and this is the spirit. Right? But Our heart is made up of the mind, emotion, will, and the conscience of our spirit. Remember, our conscience, our spirit has these three functions. So our spiritual heart is the three parts of our soul plus our conscience. So when it says, "Make my heart single in fearing your name," you could illustrate this way. How about you come up here? Okay? You be my conscience. You're certainly the mind. You're the mind. You're the emotion. You look like, are you an emotional? Are you an emotional person? I really didn't think so. Emotion. And you're the will. I think that part might fit. Will, okay. Mind, emotion, will, and conscience. Okay, now, I want to enjoy the word. What was the verse from this morning? Receive the helmet. Okay, so I'm praying. I'm coming to the Lord. I'm coming to the Lord. And so, I need my heart united so I can contact the Lord. But, if I'm praying and the mind wanders, I can't. Because I go with the mind. So I need to pray, Lord, unite my heart. Oh Lord, make my heart single. Unite my heart. Lord, unite my heart. So I need to bring my mind back. All the components of my heart have to unite so that I can contact the Lord. Very often, this is the most troubling one. Don't you agree? Isn't he the worst one? He's the most troubling one. Because as soon as he comes back, then he goes the other way. I bet. Now, you're going to be a freshman now, right? How many of you are going to be freshmen now? Raise your hand. Okay. I don't know if when you applied for... How many of you applied to more than one school? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Come back. Did you ever... Oh, let's see. You're going to Stony Brook. Yeah. What else did you apply?
All of them?
Yeah. No, just two or three. Brown? Brown and
Princeton.
Okay. You're oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, I love you. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, I love Princeton. No, Lord, no. I mean, but you're praying and you're thinking, oh, it's almost time. I should be receiving. My friend received. My friend got his acceptance yesterday. I bet mine's coming today. It's probably a yes, or it might be a no. Oh, Lord, what if it's a no? He got in. How could he get in and I not get in? That's not right. Oh, man, I didn't get in. I didn't get in. And you go through this whole thing. Maybe you got in. But a thought. On one hand, it's a thought coming. On another hand, it's your mind wandering. And you have to pray. Oh, after 7 minutes, you're only spending 10 minutes. After 7 minutes, you're, oh Lord Jesus, unite my heart. Unite my heart. Unite my heart. Unite my heart. Lord, I love you. Oh, I love you, Lord. Okay, but we have another trouble. Who's the emotion? Oh, yeah, you're the emotion. Sometimes, sit down. He just doesn't want it. He just, there's nothing you can do. He just doesn't want to. And you're, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Actually, because of him, you don't even get here to say, oh, Lord. Because of him, maybe you don't even get out of bed. You're just, what's the use? So you have to pray, Lord, unite my heart. Yeah, it's not that easy. It's not that easy. The emotion, he just doesn't want to. You know what? Sometimes you really got to depend on this one. This one needs to be strengthened. You know where it says, oh Lord, where it says that we need to be strengthened with power through his spirit into our inner man. You know what needs to be strengthened? Your mind. No, your mind, your emotion, and your will need to be strengthened. I like to pray this prayer every day. Lord, strengthen me into my inner man so that you can make your home in my heart. Okay, thanks, brothers. Yeah. Amen. Okay, our spirit. How about we all say, praise the Lord for my spirit.
Praise the Lord for my spirit.
Every Christian experience is a matter of the two spirits. The spirit in my spirit. Every actual Christian experience, spiritual experience, is a matter of the spirit in our spirit. I'm just going to list these three verses for you. This might, if you went through the summer school, you should have this. If not, this might be new to you. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That verse has both spirits mentioned. These are on your sheet. John 4:24. We read that yesterday. God is spirit, capital S. And those who worship must worship in spirit, lowercase s. Mentions both spirits. Romans 8:16. The spirit, capital, witnesses with our spirit. Oh, many of you, I know that there are a number of you that maybe you met the brothers and sisters on the campus or recently, whether in high school or in college. So you came and some of these things were new to you, as to me. But many of you, you've grown up among us and you've heard this matter of spirit. I mean, this was like your fifth word. Mama, dada, Jesus, church, spirit. You know this. You heard this. You know the circles. You're like, oh, the circles. When they try to, you know, preach the gospel to you in fifth or sixth grade, and they do the circles, like, you're like, we know this already. But I didn't know I had a human spirit. The day that I walked into that meeting, I was 14. And then they started talking about, I mean, within 3 days, I knew this. And that rest of the month, they kept on talking about this. Oh, my spirit, my spirit, my spirit. And talking like this, my spirit. I never heard that term before. I knew, Lord, your spirit, your Holy Spirit. And I love the spirit. I knew I had the spirit, capital S spirit. But I didn't know that I had a human spirit. I thought every time I read in the Bible, spirit, I always thought it talked about the Holy Spirit. I never noticed in the Bible that there's uppercase, lowercase in the English translation. To me, it was all, what, Greek? It was all Greek to me. All capitals. That's what you said, right? All capitals. To me, it was all capitals. Then, this truth. This sheet that you got, this green sheet, I hope you treasure this green sheet. And I hope you would carry this with you and read it. What a resource this is. I remember I was in high school and we had a conference and one of the brothers did something like this. And I wrote it down in my Bible. I remember writing in between the Old and New Testament, my King James. I wrote down all the verses about my spirit. And then like Romans 8, our spirit. The spirit witnesses with our spirit. I didn't know I had a spirit. Actually, the Lord, you know, when I got saved, I prayed, Lord, come into my heart. And it's accurate to pray that way. The Lord comes into our heart. But actually, our heart is our gateway. Our heart is the Lord's gateway into our spirit. 2 Timothy 4:22 says, the Lord is with your spirit. The Lord is with your spirit. So where's if you want the Lord, where do you go today? Your spirit. And you need to use your spirit or exercise your spirit or activate your spirit to touch God. That's why, and even if you grew up in the church life, I don't know if this may be new to you, but it's not automatic. Being in the spirit, using your spirit does not equal going to the meeting. Using your spirit does not equal calling on the Lord. Using your spirit does not equal reading the Bible. Even the Bible itself says that if you read it the wrong way, it will kill you. It will bring death to you. How about that? The Bible says, watch out. I'll bring death. You have to read the Bible in a certain way for it to give life to you. I know this was sad to me, this was many years ago, but there was one young sister who was with us in the church life, and she had some bad experience just in her life, and I really sympathized with her. I really was concerned for her. And one day, she just reached the limit, and she said to me, "It doesn't work." And she, I mean, with her heart. And it was actually a very kind of emotional time, because she, anyway, like I said, she was going through some hard time, and she said, "I tried it all. You know, I tried it all, and it doesn't work. Your prayer reading, your calling doesn't work. Like, it's my thing." But she was angry, because she had tried. She tried the church life thing, and she was out. And she's been out since then. She was not even 18. It doesn't work. And I couldn't help her. I couldn't help her. I didn't have the words at that time. Today, maybe I could say more. But I hope that none of us here would ever get to that point. Because actually, it does work. But it's not an it. It's a matter of, do you know how to activate your spirit to touch God? When I was in the denomination, when I was with this group of believers, who they love the Lord purely, they preach the gospel aggressively. We were so active in preaching the gospel. We would go open air outside to the street corners and preach. We would sometimes go to the, just in front of the chapel and preach. And then we'd go out and invite kids to things. And we used to run. Do any of you know what the Awana Clubs is? Awana Clubs? That's like a Christian boys club or Boy Scouts kind of thing, or Girl Scouts. I used to run one of those. A-W-A-N-A. Comes from 1 Timothy. What is it? 1 Timothy 2:15. Approved workmen are not ashamed. It's an acronym. Okay. So we had, every now and then I remember, especially at retreats. I've been going to retreats since I was 12. And especially in these retreats, the Lord's presence was very strong. And I'd go home, I knew God was real. But when I'd get back to New York, that was gone. And I never knew how to get it back. But I knew it was real. Then I kind of now equate my experience to this. It was like if you're in the dark and you're groping, eventually you'll hit a switch and the light goes on. And actually, in your excitement, you turn it off. And just as quickly as it goes on, it's off again. I would hit it every now and then. We all would hit it every now and then. It would go, but we didn't know where the switch was. I hit the switch, but I didn't know exactly how to locate it, and I didn't realize it's right here. And it has to do actually not just with your spirit. It's greatly affected by your heart. Because if your heart is wounded by something, it's really hard to exercise your spirit. If your heart is down, it doesn't help for a brother to come over and say, "Oh, brother, get out of your mind. Turn to your spirit. I'd like to punch you in the face." You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't say that. But have you never felt that way? Have you never felt that way? Like, shut up and get away from me. Because you do not understand me, and you don't understand young people. But I felt that way when I was a teenager. Our serving ones, they loved us. They tried their best. I still serve with many of them now. Praise the Lord. But at that time, a few of them did not understand young people. So when I came to the Lord's recovery and I saw this truth, I remember there were times when I learned about, I told you, I didn't like calling on the Lord. It offended me, actually, when I first heard. It was too loud. I was from a group, if you know anything about the brethren, and I don't know if they're all this way, but many are. We were very reverent. Very reverent. Very and very quiet. Very worshipful. That was what I was used to. And then you come to the meeting. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! And it's like, I thought, this is very Pentecostal. And, you know, we'd fellowship sometimes with people like that. But within a week or two, the brothers helped me to touch my spirit. My spirit. My spirit. I found out this truth. It changed everything. The God that I loved, I did love the Lord. I did love the Lord. But that God that I loved was now at my fingertips. And whenever I wanted him, he was here. Closer than fingertips, he was here. This was a huge discovery for me. And I hope it can be for you. I hope it's already, I mean, maybe this is like old for you already. You discovered. But for me, that was new. My spirit. I remember in the very first two, three weeks, I was staying with my sister from my summer vacation. And I'd wake up and I'd realize, just to check that it was still there. that it's still... You know how... I don't know if... You know, when I was... you get toys when you're a kid. And you wake up. And the first thing... Yeah. It's still there. The fire engine is still there. I remember I got a car one time. You know, those... It wasn't... It was with a car with a wire... And then a control, and you, and the car moves. That was like really neat at the time, you know. It wasn't remote, but it was like cool. That was super cool, at that time. Okay, so I remember when I'd wake up, I'd like look, it's, and like that be the first thing. I'd get out of bed and I'd start, you know. That's how I was with my spirit, when I discovered my spirit. The first thing. My spirit. I hope you could have such a love for your spirit and an appreciation for your spirit, because your spirit is crucial to God's economy. Without your spirit, God can't do anything. He created us. Remember yesterday? The heavens, the earth, the spirit of man. The spirit of man was the centerpiece of his entire creation. My spirit. My spirit. I put on the board here, they're not only verses, if you notice, these are footnotes. I don't think we have the time to do this. But I just leave this for you for your study. These notes, these four notes, all have a sentence like this that says, where's my... that says that the conscience is the leading part of the spirit. The conscience is the leading part of the spirit. And these three footnotes have a phrase like this. The conscience is the main part of the spirit. The main part. I would tell you, once I learned about my spirit, I began to exercise my spirit mostly by calling on the name of the Lord and by prayer reading the word. And I love this. And this worked. This helped me very much for a period of time, quite a period of time. But I did not realize until I read this book that Brother Mark recommended yesterday. And I want to add my two cents here. If you've never read The Economy of God, that book, please read this book. If you have read The Economy of God, please reread this book, especially the first 10 chapters. It explains this. And, of course, you know, we have, besides the conscience, there's fellowship, and intuition. But I realized that, you know, calling on the Lord is an exercise of fellowship. Prayer reading the Word is an exercise of fellowship. If that's all you have, you will not go very far. Now, granted, and as our brother was saying yesterday, this is the goal. The goal is that we enter into fellowship with the Lord. The goal is not exercising your conscience. The goal is not being clean from sin. The goal is not confessing your sins. That's not the goal. Remember the picture in the tabernacle in the Old Testament. When you go into God's house, into the tabernacle, the first thing in front of you is an altar. That's a picture of this, the conscience. That's that blood that is shed on that altar was carried to the veil in the innermost part. And we go, when the high priest went in the veil, he had to sprinkle that blood on the ark. So that blood brings you in to God's presence. The goal is not the blood. The goal is God's presence. But without the blood, there is no God's presence. Okay? So, the conscience brings us to fellowship. Yeah. But also, the conscience maintains the fellowship. And so, we have these points. The leading part. Why? Why leading? Why main? Why? I believe this way. Our initial experience of our spirit, our first experience of our spirit, is always our conscience. This is according to John chapter 16, verse 7. There it says that when the Spirit of reality comes, that's when the Lord spoke this the night before he was crucified. And he said that he was going to go to death and then come back in resurrection as the Spirit. He would send the Spirit of reality, who was himself. It says, when he comes, the first thing he does is what? Convict. He will convict the world concerning sin. The first experience of the Spirit is conviction of sins. So, on one hand, that seems, oh, that's somewhat negative. But actually, you have to realize, when you are convicted of your sin, how many of you, even this morning, had some conviction of sin? How many of you? Okay. You must realize, that was the Spirit! That was the Holy Spirit in your spirit. So when your conscience is activated, that means you are exercising your spirit. And Brother Lee says so many times, it's the leading part. It's the leading. Because the conscience takes the lead to bring us into himself. And it's also the main part. The main part. This I was surprised that Brother Lee has this kind of phraseology. The conscience is the main part of the spirit. You know, leading, if you have four people, one leads. But main means something different. Right? He's the main one. That gives, right? The conscience is the main part of your spirit. Well, I feel that maybe it's this because of this. When you add up all our experiences of the Spirit, most of them are actually our conscience in one day. Our fellowship very often is us contacting the Lord. But the conscience is the Lord contacting us. Also the intuition. Intuition is a feeling, not initiated by you. It's initiated by God. And it doesn't have anything to do with your environment. And it's not governed by your environment. It's not affected by your environment. You know, one illustration of this is our stomach. None of us, hopefully, have ever seen our stomach. But you know it's there. How do you know it's there? Because it functions. It gives you feelings. And those feelings are not governed by environment. I don't know if you've ever been in class or at work, if you've been in a meeting or even a church meeting, and then all of a sudden your stomach begins to speak. And you're like, shh. 10 more minutes. Does the stomach listen to you like, oh, sorry? No, it just keeps going. Actually, it gets louder. It's the same with our spirit. One sister mentioned, she was, you know, sits here and she gets a little feeling. And she, oh, and then you start to reason. Oh, no, it's okay. No, sometimes you say, no, oh, they just said what I was going to say. It's okay. Or, oh, there's too many people. Or, no, I'm not good at saying, expressing. Does your spirit say, oh, that's right, I forgot, I'm sorry. You just stay right there. No, the spirit inside you sometimes gets stronger. Sometimes, have you ever experienced this? You don't even realize when you stood up. How many of you have experienced that? Like you stood up and like, I better say something. Because your spirit is just motivating you. So your intuition is this way. And your conscience is this way. Your conscience may speak to you something. And then you reason, well, she started it. So I shouldn't be bad. Feel bad. It's her fault anyway. Yeah, her fault was what she said. But you still said what you said. I remember there was a sister. She went to a store. You may have had experiences like this. And she got back. Actually, it wasn't extra change. This is what happened. She was on a real tight budget. And she was at the campus bookstore. So she bought her books for the semester. Books are expensive. It's crazy. Anyway. So the cashier was a friend of hers. And she did one of these. I don't know how she could do that. But anyway, she says, you know how you do, you know, do. And she said, take care of you. Doo-doo. You know, she saved her like $40. And she was like, oh. You know, she felt so good. She was on a tight budget, so she was like, thank you, Lord. And she took her books, and when she left the bookstore, when she went through the doors, she had a feeling, you just robbed this store. So it kind of, you know, made her stop. And she thought, but that's my friend. She starts talking to that feeling. Did you ever do that? Start talking to the feeling. That's my friend. No, it's okay. And she was talking, so she went to the car. But she described her experience that it was almost that every step was heavier. And as she got to the car, she was thinking, if I go back there, I'll embarrass her. I mean, maybe she'll get in trouble. Yeah, maybe she'll get in trouble. We can't do that. I'm trying to reason, but the feeling doesn't go away. So anyway, she went back and it was okay. It was all okay. But that's our conscience. Do you realize when you come to the meeting and we're singing, we will sing to, I mean, it's, you know, so strong. You kind of, even we talk this way, oh, I felt the Spirit this morning. Yeah. Well, I would say, was that the Spirit? Was that not the Spirit? I hope so. Sometimes it's emotion. We were in meetings in 1977 that were real rip-roaring, and then we realized later it was all the flesh. All of it. 100%. But I tell you, when you go walk back to the store and return the extra quarter that you got, that's really exercising the Spirit. That for sure is exercising the Spirit. Why? Because the leading and main part of your spirit was activated. I tell you, after that, you drive to the meeting and you'll sing to the Lord with your spirit. Amen. Your spirit will flow. You won't even have to try so hard. Because when you exercise your conscience, have a good conscience, I tell you, you will have love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience. The love for the Lord will flow. Let's go to this outline. In this outline, we have 15 points. We won't be able to cover them all. We'll try our best. Let's read Romans 1. Our This is a wonderful verse. You have it on your sheet in the second column. Did we read this yesterday, I think? The Spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah, searching all the inward parts. How many of you this morning, as you were praying, as you were enjoying, you remembered either it was a sin or something the Lord was not happy with or some impediment in your life that you had some conversation with the Lord about? How many of you experienced that this morning? Okay. That was the experience of this verse. The Spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. You know, the lamp is not a light. A lamp is not a light. A lamp is the container of the light. The light is in the lamp. For us, the bulb is in the lamp. A lamp is our spirit. The light is the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses our spirit when they're together to search the inward parts. What's in here? What's in here? Oh, he may say, I've never been in this room before. He may be standing outside of one room that he's never been in your heart. He'd been waiting there, knocking. You never opened. No, that's off limits. That's okay. He keeps searching. That's our spirit. Our spirit is his lamp. Number two, our spirit being the hidden man of the heart. We should have, because the term, the spirit, is not mentioned there, it might not be on this list. Because this verse does not mention the spirit directly. Is it there? What column? Huh? Oh, very good. Okay. Yep. Okay, let's read. Oh, yes, it does mention. Which is very costly. It does mention the spirit. A meek and quiet spirit. Saints, do you realize, according to this verse, your adornment. What is adornment? It's what you put to beautify. Your most beautiful part in the sight of God is your spirit. We pay much attention to the outward adornment. Our hair, is it right? But we should pay more attention to the inner adornment. Because in God's eyes, our most beautiful part is our spirit. He has eyes for our spirit. I hope we would keep our spirit clean by exercising our conscience. Three, our regenerated spirit being our inner man. This is the verse I mentioned before. That we would be strengthened with power through his spirit into the inner man. We have an inner man. An inner man that needs to be strong. That's our spirit. So every day we should pray, Lord, strengthen me into my inner man. How about we pray that together? Lord, strengthen me about more specific. Lord, today strengthen me into my inner man. Amen? Lord.
Today strengthen me into my inner man.
Our spirit needs to be strengthened. How does one get strengthened physically? Exercise. And how do you exercise? Now we have, actually these first three points are what our spirit is. Our spirit is the lamp of Jehovah. Our spirit is the hidden man of the heart. Our spirit is our inner man. The other 12 points are how to use our spirit, how to exercise our spirit. But I would say basically how to exercise our spirit is to use our conscience, fellowship, intuition. Is to follow the feeling of our conscience, fellowship, intuition. What I testified this morning, I woke up, and I think somebody else mentioned this too, when you wake up with a hymn. Sometimes I wake up with a children's hymn. We have a song, I don't know if you have it here. When your fears grow mountain high. You know this? No? You remember this? And will block your pathway. Wait, oh, wait upon the Lord, believing while you pray. Then your eagle wings will grow. Up, 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 up you go. Over, hallelujah, over, with the mountains far below. I like that one. Sometimes I wake up and I'm... That song's... When you're and taking a shower. What's that? That's your fellowship of your spirit. Follow that. If instead of that, I go to the computer, see how my fantasy teams are going, then what? You're not exercising your spirit. If you have a song in your heart and you turn on the radio instead, hear a little music, because that's what you always do, you're not exercising your spirit. You're not using your spirit. So if you're not using your spirit, then what happens? You're not strengthening your spirit. You have to use it. You know, I have to admit, Brother Mark, I am getting older, and arthritis runs in my family. And this knee right here. Oh, I could never play catcher. I have to be out on the field when I play baseball. Because this knee, oh, if I'm like that for like more than 2 minutes, it's a pain to stand up, this knee. It's a pain. So, and then to get it, it takes a little bit. Just been bothering me. Actually, since I was 30, it's been bothering me. It's chronic in my family. And I think it's like that with our spirit. You don't use it. When you try to start to use it, it's not that enjoyable. We say, oh, enjoy the Lord. This is not enjoying the Lord. This is work. This is force. But you know, exercise means force it. Sometimes you do have to force yourself. That is the will engaged with your spirit. That's your heart. It's part of your heart. Sometimes you have to will yourself. You will it. So, like I said, illustrated yesterday, you have to say, no, I will not think that. No, not now. I'm tired of this. Every day like this. I spend the time and I get nothing. I'm not doing this today. Lord, I stand with you. This works. Number four, our spirit needing to be stirred up. Some, you know, we can add this verse here, 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. Sometimes you have to fan. You have to exercise. You have to do something. Yes. Sometimes you have to fan yourself. Lord, I need you. I do need you. I'm not standing for this. I just go like a dead leaf all the time in my mood. I do not stand with my mood today. I want my spirit. Spirit, awaken. Number what? Five. Our spirit needing to be burning. You know, there's a verse. We can add this. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the spirit. The spirit, capital S, is a fire. In the whole Bible, very often, the spirit is shown as a fire. And where is the spirit? In our spirit. So our spirit is burning. But sometimes you need to fan it to get it more. And you need to what? Not quench the spirit. It's not that you have to fan that much. It's that you have to stop quenching it. Because it's burning. And what you looked at last night at that website quenched it. If you stay away from that website, your spirit will be more burning. Stop looking at that. Stop going there. Stop reading that. Stop going there. Stop talking to that person. Stop texting them. That's quenching your spirit, and you know it. If you just stop that, your spirit will be more burning. Amen. And you know it's quenching you. So don't quench the spirit. Amen. Stand with your spirit. Six. Our spirit indwelt by the Holy Spirit needing to be the faculty of our prayer. This is the verse we had this morning, right? How does it 17 start? Receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer, praying at every time in spirit. But we have to admit, sometimes we pray and we don't pray in spirit. How many of you have ever prayed and not prayed in spirit? You know, when you have children's meeting. How many of you serve children's meeting ever? You ever serve children's meeting? Okay, kids, let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. And thank you for my mommy. And thank you for my daddy. And thank you for John. And thank you for Joe. And, it's cute. It's genuine sometimes. But when they become fifth graders, sixth graders, and they're still, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the meeting. Bless us today. We want to exercise our spirit. The next, and every week it's the same prayer. Did you ever get, even junior highers, you know, meeting, did you ever get it? Actually, were you like this in junior high? Yeah. It's just the same prayer. That's not exercising your spirit. Sometimes you need to engage your whole being. You know, in your writing, I really encourage you to read the excerpt here. Brother Lee talks about, you know when you really use your spirit? When you're angry. Have you ever gotten angry? Yes or no? Have you ever gotten angry? Probably. Yes, say yes. You have. You've gotten angry. Have you ever yelled at anybody? Have you ever yelled at your brother? Oh, I know you have because I've seen you yell at your brother. So, right? And you sometimes, from the other end of the house, Winston! Didn't you do that? You've done that. I mean, I've heard it myself, so. Yeah, right? Right, okay. Sorry, brother. I just exposed you a little. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry. Still brothers, friends? Okay, sorry. But anyway, Winston! That's his little brother. You know, when you say, Winston! Where are you? He's like genuine. He's genuine. Your spirit is coming out. Of course, it's coming out with a lot of yucky stuff. Your genuineness is coming out, but it's picking up some raw emotion. It's like a river that carries sulfur with it. And so you're getting water, but it smells bad. When you get angry, you're very genuine. You're not thinking of your face. When we're in the meeting, and we're very often, we're self-conscious. That's not spirit. That's performance. You know, okay, let's get a better analogy. If we were in this hall like now, and upstairs there was a brother near the bathroom, but there was a fire there, you'd think he'd come down and says, oh, walk around, and then come over to Brother Phil. Brother Phil, excuse me, there's a fire. I don't want to disturb the meeting, but there's a fire. Maybe we should dismiss the meeting and get everybody out. What would he do? Fire! Fire! I mean, it'd be, right? You should exercise your spirit like there's a fire. Just release your spirit. Don't worry about it. Don't be self-conscious. Lord, I love you! You know, here you could do that. In this room, you could do that. Not everywhere you can do that. How about, let's all stand up and let's say, Lord Jesus, I love you, and just like there's fire. Ready? One, two. In the prophesying meeting of your church, if you function this way, if you pray this way, and you supplement this in your daily life by taking care of your conscience, that will be genuine. Yes. And that will be maintained. I think that might be enough. I think we have still 8 minutes, right? Maybe you would like to share something. Brothers, sisters, amen.